Welcome to Investigative Post's Money and Politics. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking with Ken Cruley, who researches and produces Money and Politics, a regular feature on our website. Hey there, Ken.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. For this column, Ken winnows through campaign finance filings to see who bankrolls our elected officials. And then on this podcast, we discuss why. Today, we're looking at what it costs to be a politician in Western New York, what it costs to win and hold a seat, particularly on the state legislature. Ken, tell me how you went about researching this week's Money in Politics column.
What I did was I took a look at the 16 legislative districts in Western New York, state legislative districts, and I took a look at how much they spent for the recently completed election cycle, which was 2019-2020, culminated in all of them winning election last November. I took a look at the total amount that they spent, the number of votes they received. I took a look at where some of the big money was coming from, particularly from Albany in some cases, and got some sense of how expensive it is to run for a state legislative seat these days.
Yeah, so we're not looking so much as we often do at who's supporting politicians, where their money's coming from, but rather how much money they raise and spend, the cost of doing business, more or less.
Correct.
So what did you find?
Well, I found that out of the 16 winning candidates, they spent an average of almost $216,000 apiece. There were five races that were not contested. Almost a third of the 16 were no contest. But interestingly, the five people who had no opponents wound up spending an average of $115,000, which is an awful lot of money for when you don't have a campaign, basically. The other 11, a lot of them spent a good chunk of money. Four of them got a good chunk of money from Albany. The largest amount of money coming from Albany went to Monica Wallace. Monica Wallace received from Albany almost $383,000 from the Assembly Campaign Committee. Both houses of the legislature and both parties have their own campaign accounts that are run out of Albany and generally used for candidates that need some help. In the case of Monica Wallace, she received substantial help. The other ones who received help included Karen McMahon, who represents mostly the town of Amherst and a little bit of Niagara County, Patrick Burke, and Bill Conrad. There were also a number of the winning candidates who were donors to Albany. The largest amount donated from a local legislative candidate, interestingly, was from Sean Ryan, who donated to the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee over $250,000. And Sean has just been elected to this first term in the Senate. He had been in Albany as an assemblyman for a few years. That's a considerable amount of money for anybody, particularly for someone who's coming in as a freshman senator. Senator Tim Kennedy donated nearly $150,000 to the Albany campaigns. Other candidates donated at some lesser amounts.
I'm going to stop you there because this is interesting. We always end up talking about Tim Kennedy, the money-raising machine. Kennedy, who just churns campaign money.
And both of them have reasonably safe Democratic seats, so they didn't need to spend much directly for electing themselves. So what they spent was a little bit, in total, a little bit deceiving because so much of the money was shipped to Albany from those two guys. But $250,000 from Sean Ryan to the Senate Campaign Committee is an extraordinary amount of money.
Yeah, so it's interesting. One of the calculations, and we'll get to this in a second, one of the calculations you make that I thought was fascinating was how much candidates spent per vote. And in the case of Ryan, his cost per vote is pushed way higher by this obligation, apparently, to kick back money to the state Democratic Party, which is not so much buying individual votes, but buying, you know, institutional support.
Right. In looking, you know, it's certainly the leadership of the state Senate's going to look kindly on Sean for what he's done, and that could affect committee assignments, maybe some budget allocations, who knows.
So yeah. Well, so let's look at that. Let's look at how much candidates spent per vote. What'd that look like?
Well, there's a very broad range. Senator George Borello, who represents Chautauqua County, spent 38 cents per vote. He didn't have much of a contest there. He spent $33,000. He got 88,000 votes almost. The other end of the scale locally is Assemblywoman Monica Wallace, who spent $15 per vote that she received. She spent over $500,000 total on that campaign, including the $383,000 from Albany, and she received a little over 35,000 votes. votes. That was a pretty expensive per vote range. The others, mostly less than $2 or $3 a vote average. Sean Ryan's, as you said, is somewhat higher, but a little bit distorted because he did send money, a considerable amount of his campaign money, back to Albany, and that was counted in the total spending.
So let's draw back again for a moment and look at, so how much money was spent overall by these candidates?
Overall, the 16 winning candidates spent $3,454,000, an average of $216,000 apiece.
And that's just for state legislature seats in Western
right.
New York.
Right. And keep in mind that really only one or two of those seats was competitive, and five had no opponents at all, but the others weren't hardly competitive either.
And yet more than $3 million spent. That's a pretty good little industry.
It certainly is.
What do they spend their money on? Who are the beneficiaries of this?
Well, TV stations did very well because Wallace and Burke had considerable TV advertising, a lot of printing donations to local town committees, city committees, and stuff like that. But the big winners were the TV stations and this thing.
And the post office, too,
and
I
the
suppose.
Post office did well. Then we have to help the post office.
Yeah, it's interesting how people talk about the importance of get out the vote, of boots on the ground, of people knocking on doors and making sure that people get to the polls. But in the end, that's a relatively small expense for
it
most
is.
Campaigns.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, hardly any expense because you can get some volunteers to do some things. Of course, in 2020, things were a bit different. There wasn't as much door knocking because the pandemic made that a problem.
Now, happily for us, it's almost like a second Christmas. Campaign finance disclosures were due this past Friday. We're talking Tuesday and after the holiday, so they're not all online yet. But have you looked at the ones that have appeared?
I have. I've taken a look at a couple of the marquee races, which are county controller and sheriff. Also, the mayor, Mayor Brown's report has not appeared as of the time we're talking today. It'll be in, I'm sure, in the next day or two. The others, people who want to run for mayor or at least express some interest, have filed no financial reports that indicate what their support might be. For sheriff, there's a couple of candidates who have raised substantial amounts of money. John Garcia, retired Buffalo police officer.
He's off to a quick start.
Right. Has raised $135,000, $50,000 of which was a loan from himself. But that still leaves $85,000 in a lot of contributions. I looked at it, 15 pages of contributions. He's picking up some political support from former sheriff and now Senator Pat Gallivan and some others.
And he has an endorsement, too, from the 1791 Society, which is a pro-Second Amendment group.
Right. And from the Buffalo PBA contributed to his campaign. He's a Republican candidate. Another Republican candidate is Karen Healy Case. She reported $29,000, $28,000 of which was her own money, and a little over $1,000 in just two donations from people.
And she's a former Buffalo police officer whose husband is a judge.
Right.
So she has ties to institutional political support as well.
She does, and I expect that her finances will continue to grow as time goes on. On the Democratic side, there's not much to show for sheriff in terms of campaign contributions. There's several names floating out there. Dennis Richards, chief of detectives in Buffalo, as mentioned, doesn't have a campaign committee reported yet. Bernie Tolbert came very close to winning last time. Talk about him running, but no campaign report. A couple other candidates, Brian Gould, who is a deputy chief in the town of Cheektowaga, no campaign report filed. And another name, Kim Beattie, who is a former Buffalo deputy commissioner and now head of public safety at Canisius College. She is making phone calls, I'm told, for the office, but hasn't raised any money that she's reported.
And the sheriff's race, the Republicans seem to have a full field already, and the Democrats haven't quite figured out what they're doing. For the county controller, it's the opposite, right? The Democrats have settled on county legislator Kevin Hardwick, Republican-turned-Democrat.
Right.
But on the Republican side?
No hint at the moment. They've been very quiet about it. A lot of folks think that Lynn Dixon, former legislator who ran for executive a couple of years ago, might be the candidate. She's a deputy in current controller Stefan Mihailu's office. Mihailu is not running. Mihailu is going to run for supervisor in the town of Hamburg. Dixon has $6,200 still in her campaign account from the executive campaign a couple of years ago. Kevin Hardwick Hardwick has somewhere around $16,000 raised so far. Those numbers will go up.
And so we're waiting on the mayor, of course. We're waiting on the mayor to declare his candidacy. We're waiting to see his campaign finance filings. Mayor Brown, his last campaign finance filing didn't show a lot of money comparatively. And he spent a lot of money to be reelected in 2017. $1.4 million spent that year. He only got about 16,000 votes.
Turns out to be about $90 a vote.
That's
which is a lot of money.
Yeah, that makes Monica Wallace look like a piker, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. $90 a vote is an awful lot of money to spend. Yeah, I mean, it's an indication of the ability of an incumbent mayor to raise money, and evidently the lack of interest of people in Buffalo who chose not to to vote. So that could play out again this year. We don't know. There's some people who want to run. They really haven't lit any fires yet in the city that I've seen.
With the primary moved up to June, shortens the political season somewhat, and so makes it a little less expensive, perhaps, to run for office.
Yeah, well, I mean, the petitions go out on February 23rd. There's some question about how that's going to work this year because of the pandemic. Last year, the number of petitions was cut. The required number of signatures was cut. That could be something that happens in the next couple of weeks in Albany. There have been other suggestions. One of them I saw was allow people to sign signatures electronically on the internet, which would be a very interesting proposition. Kind of hard to implement, I think, but that was thrown out there. Some states allow candidates to pay a fee to get on the ballot. I think it's most likely that we'll wind up with a reduced number of signatures, but with things the way they are and February, March weather, it's a little hard to get signatures on a petitions at that time of the year. And it's coming up very quickly, as you know. So people have to lay their cards on the table, start raising money, getting volunteers lined up, and doing a whole lot of things in a hurry.
Yeah, so petitioning begins end of February. The petitions must be turned in beginning of April, and then there's a brief period in which petitions can be challenged and verified, et cetera.
It leaves about 8 or 10 weeks of a campaign once the a ballot is set. But between the time the ballots are locked in and when the vote is occurring is not a whole lot of time. It's a the new system that we have creates various complications. A long time ago, there used to be June primaries, and it didn't seem as complicated back then. With the time of the year that petitions are required and other things need to be done, it really compresses the calendar substantially.
And for some races, particularly city races like the mayor's race, the primary is it.
Yep.
Because the district is Democratic. The county races, on the other hand, are potentially, despite the advantage that Democrats enjoy in Erie County, the elections are often much closer than that would suggest.
Yeah. And the problem is that the Republicans, the problem for the Democrats is that the Republicans don't contest elections in Buffalo in November. And so there's no activity going on. And so countywide Democratic candidates always have trouble in November because turnout in the suburbs and rural areas is fairly okay. But in the city, it goes down because nobody's paying attention. And the key for a Democrat winning a countywide race this year is going to be whether they can get the city turnout to be what the suburban turnout is. That's a big challenge.
Yeah, and there's not that much going on in the city.
No, not
in the general election.
No, and not, frankly, not a lot in the suburbs either. Big towns, there might be a race for supervisor here or there that attracts attention, but nothing that's going to get people to march in big numbers to come out to vote that day.
The Hamburg town supervisor race, which, as you mentioned, Stefan Mihailu is interested in running as a Republican, one assumes, although it's not clear that the Republican Party will have him. Lynn Dixon could run for that if she chose to instead of comptroller. But Hamburg is interesting because there's a lot of Democrats in Hamburg.
Yeah, there are. And the other interesting thing is Donald Trump carried Hamburg by a small margin in November. So I assume that's part of the reason that's driving Mihailu to running for supervisor. But by affiliation, it's a fairly decent Democratic location. And if they come up with the right candidate, they could win it like they did 4 years ago. You can't win if you don't have a candidate, and at the moment they don't have a candidate. So Mihailu has burned bridges among the Republicans, but from what I'm hearing, he's pretty much got the endorsement locked up for supervisor, and Dixon has declined to seek that race. So why that is, I don't know.
A hotly contested race in Hamburg for town supervisor could have an outsized impact on the countywide races for controller and sheriff.
Certainly could.
All right. What are you looking at next, Ken? What's next on your docket?
Next, we're going to take a look at former elected officials who still have campaign accounts alive.
This is one of my favorite subjects.
Some of them going back several years. So we'll be looking at how much they have and who they are.
Well, I look forward to that. Thanks very much, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Money in Politics for this week. You can follow Ken Crooley's work at politicsandstuff.com. And of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.